Let's go ahead and start with the lesson on Philippians. We are on lesson 11. And we're now down to loving your co-laborers. Okay, remember when we started, Paul started telling us that we need to be careful as Christians of those that are outside in the world, those the unbelievers. And then he goes down and he's speaking of those that are in the church that are with, they come with sheep clothing, but in reality they're wolves. And he had already warned us, and we should be mature enough to see when there's a person that has a different doctrine, and we need to be very careful that we take care of the flock, okay? But now he turns into, in chapter 4, he turns into where we as God's people, okay, how we need to take care of each other and help each other. And he starts off 1 through 5, and he starts by saying, my brethren, loved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Euodias and Syntyche, that they be mine in the Lord. And this is where we're going to go. These are two sisters, okay, that when Paul started the Philippians church about 10 years or so back then, and now he's in prison writing from Rome. And so these two ladies and other ladies were working at the church, and they were very active. But something happened, and this is where God tells us that we as God's people, we all have different characters, and we need to be very careful. Some of us are kind of quiet, and that's fine. If you see a brother that's kind of quiet, don't try to force him to talk. Just shake his hand. And there's others that are, they like to talk. I'm one of them. But also, I need to be very careful. When a brother is not in a good mood, and don't keep on pushing his button. Be very careful. This is what he was talking. Take care of the flock inside. So, therefore, my in chapter 4, the reason that he's saying that, remember in Philippians 3:20, let's go there, Philippians 3:20. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it something for us as Christians? We should be as joyful. I got saved 42, 43 years ago. And when I got saved, I thought I was the only one that the Lord loved. I thought that the Lord was only focusing on me. I found out, no, the Lord is focusing on. I think we all felt that way when we first got saved, that we were special, and we are special. That's why Christ died for us. But I am as excited of the Lord's coming as I was when I first got saved. Now, if we are not careful, and we let the circumstances of life bring us down. No, it doesn't matter whether we have health or we have money or we are poor. It doesn't matter. I know that the day, and wouldn't it be something if right now the Lord would come for us right now? What a better place for the Lord to come for us than being in church. I am going home. But whether I'm asleep, whether I'm working on the car, it doesn't matter. I know that I'll be taken home with the Lord. And this is why he was saying, rejoice. Remember, our joy should be God saved us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our focus should be heaven. Okay? And so he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, want them for the Lord, and he still hears that they're doing great. Instead of them getting cold, they're on fire for the Lord. So stand fast in the Lord again, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of one mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true fellow yoke help, those women with me in the gospel, with Clemens or with Mercy also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names. Now, I don't know if those that he loved had gone home already, or I don't know, but all of us that are here that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, our names are written in the book of life. And my son took off yesterday to Ohio. But guess what? As they were taking off, their plane was delayed. So they had to wait. Instead of going at 4, they had to take off at 6:30, 7 o'clock. But one thing is with the Lord, that when he calls us, we'll be there. If he calls us right now, we'll go home without delay. And that will be, I cannot even imagine what heaven is going to be like. I know that it's going to be a good place, because the Lord says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. That should be our joy with God's people. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I remember the first time I went knocking on doors with a brother that was more mature. And I wanted to see what it was to go witness to people. Just like people came and witnessed to me, I said, I want to go witness to people, but I don't know what to say. And this brother, he was like a construction worker. And you know how construction workers are, kind of like rough and all that. And so, come with me, brother, and I'll show you how to win souls. All right, so I go. And he knocks on the door. And a lady comes out. Do you know that you're going to hell if you die right now? But that's not the way. Yes, be moderate. Yes, anyone that dies without Christ is on their way to hell. But we should be gentle and kind enough, because you and I were headed that way, and God had mercy on us, and he saved us. And so now he said, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. You know what? Yes, we all deserve hell, but God loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. See the difference that's going on right there? So, in the church, one vital thing that is missing, and that's unity. We need to be very careful as we walk together. When we're working here, some have a job outside, Some have a job inside here. Sam has a job, and he's more noticeable because he's the one directing the choir. Okay? Some are playing instruments. And then there's the choir back there, and they all have different roles. Somebody right now, I feel comfortable because I know somebody's out there taking care of our vehicles. Okay? It's just, I remember I was going to Faith Baptist. We didn't have a lot of people working. At night, we came out of church, and my truck was broken into, and my other brother's car was broken. There was about three or four cars broken into. And so we started putting people out there. You be surprised that you see the person out there walking. Are they wasting their time? No, they're doing a job for the Lord. There's people right now, we can be nice and comfortable. Somebody came in and turned on the heater for us, the lights. You can hear me because somebody's working back there. If you have a child, you can come in here because there's workers back there taking care in the nursery of your children. And now we have, we started back with a Sunday school junior church. And whether people come or not, but there's people prepared to give them the word of God. And so we need to work together. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. See, God has made each and every one different in talents, in personality, but he commands us to labor together in the harvest. But too often the harvest is lost because the laborers are fighting among themselves about who does which job will receive. I was in a church where we had deacons. And if the pastor hadn't intervened, they would have gone at it. And these are deacons fighting because he was supposed to open the door and this one wanted to open. Simple things that has no meaning. And if we let them go here in church, remember, Satan walks around to see who he can devour. And if we as God's people put our guard down, guess what? Satan will destroy us. Let's go to a second. This one I was thinking of that and it came to my mind. So say, Lord, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12 and 25. And again, I am going to read it. I know I'm having problem with my eyesight, but I've adjusted trained my vision to go slow. So if I read like a robot, please bear with me. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 25. For as the body is one and has how many members? Many, many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or we be free, and have been all made to drink in the same, into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Of course it is. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seems to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncommonly parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to the parts which lacked. And then it says on 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We need to take care of each other here. And a lot of times, sadly, those that we should be working with inside the church, sometimes because of something that was said wrong or the wrong way, or because you misinterpreted, remember, the Bible says that if a brother offends you, does the Bible says go and tell everybody? No. The Bible says, if your brother or your sister offends you, go to him or her alone and let them know, you know what, brother, I don't know what you were trying to say, but you've offended me. And that brother will say, you know what, I'm sorry. And the thing is to get the church going back where it's supposed to be going. You know what, it's so hard for the pastor, for him to take care of his family, for him to have the responsibility of having the local church taking care. One day, all pastors will stand before God and they have to give an account for what they did at the local church. And it's so sad when we give our pastor a hard time that instead of him being joyful, he comes with a grieving heart, knowing that his people are fighting among them. But when we get together in what the Bible tells us in a godly manner, and let me tell you, when a brother or a sister are fighting, it's not something that is heavenly. It is selfish and it is devilish. It is Satan. Remember again, Satan looketh to whom? Tony, you ought to see how he looked at you. Instead, I was saying, well, you know what? He did look at me a certain way. Well, you know what, Tony? I could add more fuel to the fire or say, no, Tony, you know what? He probably had his mind somewhere else. And why don't you go talk to him? A mature Christian will always put the fire out instead of causing problems. And this is what was happening. Okay. Let me go now to the word that we call, because there's a word that we call love here, especially in the English language. In the Spanish, it's very different. I say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I love my car, I love my house, I love the food that you make. We, in Spanish, you don't say that word. It's more personal, and it should be. There's three words, okay? In the English language, the first one, it's eros, not eros, but eros, which is the god of lust. More, it's more fleshy, that word love, where, okay, I'm going to give her, I'm going to give him a heart, and then I'm going to get a kiss. It's more of a fleshy, lustful word when we use, and I think this is the word that the world uses, love, for everything, but it's wrong. And then there's a second word that is called phileo, okay? The word phileo means brotherly love. When, you know what, we love God because what? He loved us first. And so this kind of love is a brotherly love. You know what, Tony, I remember he helped me out, so now he's in need. I'm going to go help him. It's a phileo. This is where the word Philadelphia comes from. That was a church of love. Those brothers were they cared for each other, and that's where we get that word phileo from, Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia. And then there's the third word, and it's called agape. Okay, and agape is an unselfish love. It's unconditional, and this is where. And Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee. See, this is the agape word, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Romans 5:8, okay, says, again, no love, but God commended his love towards us in while we were yet sinners. See, God didn't say, go clean up your act, because we couldn't. And God says, but God, okay, commendeth his love towards us, in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is unconditional love, that God came, sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me. That is unconditional love. Sadly, there will be many people that, even though God came and died for them and he has sent his people to go witness to them, do you know that there will be people going to hell? Because even though God showed them everything, he did everything possible, they chose to say no. Or maybe they chose to say tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I'll accept the Lord, and tomorrow never came for them. It's so sad. It's so sad that this loving God that died and was buried and resurrected, and one day again, he's coming for us. And if we come to church just to be, just to socialize, it's good to have fellowship. The first, there's three things for the local church. First, for God's people to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for them. Okay? That's the first purpose of the local church. The second purpose of the local church is for us as God's people to have fellowship with one another. Behold, how beautiful, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. Okay, so we need to be very, very careful. And In 1 John, let me see if I have it. 1 John 3:14. 1 John 3:14. Where am I at? Okay. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Notice what he's trying to focus in now, that he is not worried about the people outside, and he has already warned us about those that come doing wrong, but now he's working on the church. If we work together for the honor and glory of God, it's one thing for me to say I love you. It's another thing for me to show I love you. And this is what he was saying. Don't just say that you love a person. And I've always tell somebody, you know what, I will never ask somebody to pray for me when I know they don't even pray for themselves. I will always ask prayer from those that pray, because I know they will pray for me and that they are praying. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for the local church. There's many people, folks that are not here, not because they chose to, but they're sick. They're not doing good. Are we praying for them? Do we pick up the phone and say, hey, brother, I missed you and hope you're doing all right. Hey, sister, do you need any help? And this is what Paul was trying to tell the church. You guys are on fire for the Lord, but it's those little things. It's those little things that will destroy a church. And so he goes on. He says, we know him. We know that we love him, that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And then John goes in a little bit deeper. He goes, if a man say he loved God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he sees, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So we must be very careful to not just say we love you, but to show people that we care for them. And so John, 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither tongue, but in deed and in truth. See the difference between there? He's trying to, don't come saying that you love me and no, I know when somebody cares for me. I know when somebody wants to help me. But we're going into these two sisters that love the Lord, and I don't know if maybe one of them was a pianist and the other one the organ player, and I don't know what happened. I'm assuming. Hey, why don't we play Amazing Grace? And the other one, well, no, you know what? I want to play Jesus is Coming, or, well, you know what? And little things that threw them off. And I don't know if they were in disagreement with some of the church members or with them. So I think because it says, let them be of the same mind. Hey, you could play Amazing Grace, and then you can play, if you have to flip a coin, but don't be fighting with each other. It makes it hard for us, and Satan will take advantage of destroying the church. And for us to be in this harmony, we have to be very careful, because guess who's going to take the load? Our pastor. The deacons. Are we praying for the deacons? Are we praying for our brothers? Are we caring for each other? And it, so it says right there, can you imagine, and we're going to stop there, but can you imagine where they're all excited and they're reading the letter, and what did Paul say? And all of a sudden, says, and he's not talking too good about, not to destroy them, but he was kind of upset with these two sisters that was causing problems, because he knew that if they didn't get their act together, because some loved her more than her, and some were going to follow her, and it was going to cause problems in the church. And so it says, I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Next week we'll see what Paul says has to say to them. So we need to be very careful in what we do. Remember, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord is coming. Whether we believe it or not, the Lord is coming. And I wait. And we should have that excitement in us that we come to church to worship the Lord, but one day he will be coming for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask your blessing. We ask that you forgive us, Lord, that you help us to love one another as you have loved us, Lord, as you have forgiven us, Lord. Don't let Satan come into our minds and try to destroy. Lord, you have given us the ability to your word to know when things are wrong. And if I have offended somebody, help me to go to that person. If that person has been offended, help them to go and settle it before Satan comes in and tries to destroy the church. Be with us, Lord, and we wait for your coming. And as we wait for your coming, let us work together, Lord, for your honor and glory. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen.